Hi, I'm Lauren Edmonds. I'm the founder and owner of a school that supports children with learning delays. I'm hoping the space gives you something to think about.
I want to talk about getting a diagnosis for your child and what you might be feeling and how you might be thinking and what the road ahead is like. Many of you listening will have been through this already. Some of you are just starting the journey. Others are hoping that it never comes. And I'm going to talk from a parenting and a teaching perspective. The reason I started the school was my daughter received a number of diagnoses over her life. And each time we got a diagnosis, I felt both relief and the stress and strain of it. And trying to figure out my own way through as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, and then making sure that I know that she was trying to make her own way through it as well as a young child. How interesting the journey is and up and down it is. I think one of the biggest things that I take with me still at the moment in terms of my life in general, but more specifically as a parent, is this idea of this too shall pass and we will get through it. And we don't get through it by denying it, even though denial is something that is very real. I've got two daughters, and the other one was diagnosed with a mental illness that both of us knew full well she was in. It was an eating disorder. We could see it, and she was 18, I think, at the time, maybe 19, and she could see it, and I could see it, and we both sat with this knowledge, as yet at that point undiagnosed, and what we were going to do with it, and were we going to ignore it or tackle it head on. And because of all the experience I'd had up until that point with my other daughter and her diagnoses, I knew that tackling it head on would be okay, that there are people that support and help, that I had developed the tools I needed in order to understand and grow with what was going to happen, and that whatever came our way, we would have each other, we would have tools. Even if we didn't have the tools at the moment, we would find the tools, we would find the resources, and everything would ultimately be okay. It wouldn't necessarily be the same. More specifically, it wouldn't be what we thought it would be. But if you roll with what it is and you find acceptance as quickly as possible, or even if you find acceptance and then move out of it and come back to acceptance, then your ability, your inner ability to find the right resources and the right help really ramp up. It's when we sit in denial consistently for too long and we never move out of it. So what I found with my other daughter that was diagnosed with an eating disorder, before we got the diagnosis, we were in recognized denial. And we stayed there for a long time. Even as we were talking to nutrition experts and psychiatrists, we still stayed. And I remember sitting in the nutritionist's office. My daughter and I looked at each other. Remember now, she's 18, 19, so she's more of an adult than a child. And we both turned to the nutritionist and we said, "We're currently in denial. We can't put your plan in place right now. Give us a couple of months." And it took us about 3 months to sit with this, wow, this is heavy, and what does this mean, and are we there for each other, and what is our plan as a family, what are our values, what are the things that we've done in the past, what would work now for going into the future, into this challenge, and taking accountability and responsibility for all of the things that we were and are, because we would need to do that going forward into treatment, because as a mom, I would need to sit there and go, there are things that I've said and done that have contributed to this. What can I do differently now? And that level of knowing and taking it on, not as a punishment or as a beratement of myself, but more as a wide awake, I have some culpability in this and I'm willing to work with this and not place it on her shoulders alone. You know, I can't place the full weight of a mental disorder on a 19-year-old's shoulders. And if I can't do that because she's only 19, I certainly can't do it when my children were 12, 10, 8, 6, or even 3 years old. The weight of the diagnosis does not belong to the child, because I find that if we place the blame on them and the weight on them because we can't handle the pressure, we diminish the child's ability to get beyond the diagnosis. I'm not saying necessarily to shed the diagnosis. You know, when we have something like a dyslexia, it is the way your brain works. There's no curing that. So the person with the diagnosis needs to hold it, but they need the adults to hold it more, to be the adult in the room, to go, this is okay. And we might not know what's going on right now, but we'll find out. And we'll do the best that we can with the resources we have right now. And when we have different tools and different resources, we'll do better. And we'll keep growing and learning. And I'm in this with you, but don't worry, my child. I am the adult. I will take on the adult responsibilities. And you as the child, I will help you to take on the responsibilities that are yours. And the burden is not to be placed on the child. The emotional burden is not to be placed on the child. The growth opportunities get given to the child. And hopefully there's not a big emotional burden on the adult either, but rather an accountability and responsibility that you take on. Let me find out more information. Let me find the right professional. If this one isn't working, can I move on to the next one? What else do we need? Does this consume our lives completely, or is this just a component of it? Are we really overwhelmed by all of these things coming at us? Yes, in the beginning, for sure, because nobody prepares you for this. When you have your child, you expect the trajectory of your child and your parenting to be a certain way. And when that gets questioned or put into question, we've got to grieve what we thought was going to happen. And we've got to find acceptance and peace in what actually might happen. And when we find that reality check and we find being okay in that space, then we move forward with love and connection. And I've seen it time and time again with a real positive potential. And I see children not necessarily overcoming the neurodiversity that they have, but living in sync with it in such a beautiful way that they are authentically themselves and they succeed authentically as themselves. And the family has a beautiful family experience and parenting experience and child experience. When we stay in denial for too long and we don't get out of it, we really risk re-traumatizing ourselves and our children over and over and over again. And the trajectory of that is dismal. What kind of 25-year-old is your 5-year-old going to be if you blame him, if you place the pressure on him, if you don't take accountability for how you need to change, even though you might not want to change? What are you doing with your relationship with your child? And at the minimum, at the maximum, what kind of 25-year-old could they potentially be if we get even 50% of this right? And at the worst, this sounds terrible, but what burden is my child going to be on me for far longer than they need to be if I don't put in the work now? And I think looking long-term is so important. As a school, I see it with teaching as well. I love to employ high school teachers to teach grade 5, 6, and 7 because they know what's coming. And I love to employ ECD teachers that teach ages 3, 4, 5, 6 to teach grades or children that are 6, 7, 8 that have got learning difficulties because they know what foundation needs to be put in place for what's coming. So don't be afraid to not know. Know that you as an adult know what's coming down the line for your child in adulthood. And what would be the very best message you could give to your child while they're a child, while you're forming those connections, those neural pathways, the language that they use about themselves? How are you forming that for them so that they could be amazing at their best? And at the very least, they're not a burden on you for the next 30 to 40 years of your life. And I know it sounds terrible, but it's a reality. The best possible thing you can do for your child is intervene very intentionally as soon as possible so that you free them up and you free yourself up as well. So we call ourselves at Amatus an intervention school. And what I'm asking parents to do, and this is not easy and not all parents are able to do this, I'm asking them to put massive concerted effort into their child for a 2 to 3 year period where we can overcome some massive difficulties and not learning specifically. It could be that as well, but physical difficulty, emotional challenges. If you look at autism, how are they managing their sensory profile? How are they managing their overwhelm? How are we getting all of that right? Shifting the family focus, shifting what happens in the home, shifting the priorities, looking at how school can support that, how home can support school, because school is a community in itself as well, and it's got its own aims. How can we get all of that synced? So after 2 to 3 years, the child emerges from MRTA, so emerges from the therapeutic process into a trajectory that is positive and encouraging and more typical, because the world is more typical and we want children to be able to become employed later on. We want them to have such a powerful, strong self-esteem and autonomy and agency to be able to find their own resources and do it themselves and build that grit and perseverance and optimism and curiosity in themselves and zest and self-control, all of the character traits that we really do support. So your child walks into this world going, I've got this. And not only have I got this, but I know I've got this because my parents are behind me, my family is behind me, and I know that because they've done it for me. And I don't believe it needs to be a 10-year process. I believe it needs to be a 2 to 3 year resetting of the family in order to make the new normal so easy, so natural, so normal that it doesn't feel like hard work anymore. Always talking about children with cognitive delays will always find learning and that type of intervention in their lives harder than anybody else. So we need to make the harder easier. Now, if I build in strong habits for myself that just come naturally, then doing things becomes easier because self-control within the habit is something that I just always do. So you end up making hard work not sound or feel like hard work, but just this is the way we do things here. And if you can build that into your child, that, yeah, I do my homework every day and I study 3 times as hard as everybody else, but that's just what I do, as opposed to feeling like there's something wrong with me because I have to study more. It's just your makeup. Let's find the formula for you. So when you get a diagnosis for your child, you're going to go through the ups and downs of grief and change and trying to get your head around it. And the work is necessary and the work pays off. And when you get to the space of, right, let's intervene, just do your homework. Figure out what is right for you. Try things on. Try an approach. If it doesn't work, change and shift. Get advice. Take the advice. If it doesn't work, shift again. Find what you need to be as a parent and as a home, as a family that makes, that sets your child up for an easier life, and put in the work for those 2 to 3 years. Get the therapy done. Don't allow people to say, oh, well, if you can't afford it, don't worry about it. There's other ways to get around it if you can't afford it, but don't not worry about it. Do the work. Kids will thank you for it. You'll thank yourself for it. I hope this has been helpful. I'm really passionate about this idea.